right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with my buddies Chuck and John. And as has become the habit, Chuck is in person.
Hey, guys.
John is calling in, not from a hotel, but from
In
exile in his home.
Self-imposed exile.
So how are we doing? Did we have a chance to have breakfast this fine Thursday afternoon?
Dude,
I had cefalexin and prednisone.
One of those is a steroid.
Yeah. It's allowing me to talk to you as I could not talk this morning.
That's good. I'm sorry you're sick, buddy.
Performance-enhancing drugs, gentlemen.
Well,
not responsible for the mellifluous tone this time. That's all earned with sweet, sweet prednisone. Which I believe Rod Stewart was somehow addicted to. Although I don't really see how you can get addicted to prednisone.
Yeah, I don't think that's an addictive drug.
Well, if you
it's one of those that causes you to be maybe aggressive and also lowers your immune system.
But if you need it to lower swelling and you use your voice the way Rod Stewart does.
Yeah.
That's right.
It may be something you have to have if you want to sing.
Sounds like a mental addiction, which is still addiction.
It's still real.
I'm not being callous this time.
Are you subtweeting my gambling addiction? I think everyone needs to join our Patreon patron only Slack just to get experienced Gamblers Anonymous.
Oh my God!
Well, here's the thing. I would say you could sell those tips. You know, we could become one of those tip services.
Yeah, if we just bet on the things you guys all agreed upon to bet on.
Right.
If we just like, oh yeah, this is a lock, and then every single time there's four dudes who lost what would be a mortgage payment.
All of our Patreon supporters are not awesome at gambling.
No.
And so they all agree on their picks beforehand, and it's pretty hilarious to watch.
And we all basically, and we don't even know if now we should just bet against what the consensus is because
I'm very confused as to what to do on a daily basis.
The worst thing is, as just a basketball fan, when I go in there and someone's like, "Oh man, I got Grizzlies money line," and I'm like, "Oh
man, we're stuck."
That's really bad for the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chuck, did you have breakfast?
I did. Did a healthy breakfast today. I ate pizza for dinner last night.
Nice.
And by pizza, I mean an entire Little Caesars to the face.
That's like, isn't that all four food groups or
it
something?
It's got
your
vegetables,
and
your dairy,
your protein,
and your gluten.
Yeah.
So I felt like crap when I woke up and I ate an apple.
There you go.
I had a bagel with cream cheese and like a granola bar.
Very healthy.
Well, I think that.
My breakfast sounds more delicious than your breakfast.
Yeah,
an apple's a great wake-up food.
I was sad. I was watching ESPN eating it. And just
Chuck, I don't know, point of order. This is Two Straight Podcast. You've woken up, quote, sad.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know if
it should be the third straight year that I've woken up sad. So, yeah.
Well, that's no good. My breakfast was, again, not exciting. I didn't eat breakfast very early, but I was cooking Chase Buddy Bunger a little bit of lunch. Making him some plain pasta, some pasta shells. So I just some plain pasta for breakfast. The bad part is that a little guy walks around sounding like Phil Jackson using coded language because he just says, posse, posse, posse. I'm like, whoa, easy, pasta.
Pasta, we have to put the T in there, buddy.
Let's not be offensive, Phil.
No. Any pasta.
All right, so those were our breakfasts. After our breakfast, we get to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong in any previous episode. And woo Nelly,
do we need some
breakfast in bed apologies this week?
I'm just going to start like with my first mistake and just get that out of the way. I grossly misrepresented the Spurs' strength of schedule, although Chuck did correct me shortly thereafter, so at least it wasn't a long-lasting mistake. But also, I just shouldn't have had the Spurs second. I overreacted to the Cavs' slight skid because they are truly terrifying once again.
Oh, if only
subjective errors were our biggest problem from the last couple shows we've had.
Yeah. I'm apologizing for our Game of Scones that went awfully wrong. One of the questions, I guess the topic was what player had a weird stat line that wasn't in the Hall of Fame, and I picked Mitch Richmond, who of course was inducted in the Hall of Fame in 2014. Shout out. Who gave us that on the
Several.
Slack? Several humans.
Several.
Everyone.
Several, I think Matt,
Matt Sullivan
on,
the, sure.
on Twitter, several people reached out. We're like, hey, I think someone might have told you this, but... I mean, that's my fault because, like, what I did was we were researching, you know, which players had attempted 34 shots in a game and weren't either in the Hall of Fame or definitely going to be in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And there were several guys who were on the fence who I was like, look it up, like Chris Webber, like, he's not going to get in Basketball Reference, doesn't think he's going to get in. But on Mitch Richmond, didn't even look it up. I'm like, that guy's not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Even though he is I knew he was a dream teamer, you know, a Dream Team 3, but still.
Multiple
on TMC.
Yeah. Big time.
So we screwed that up. Also,
You're just a SoundCloud trivia show host. That's all you are.
Which doesn't really make sense because you can be huge on SoundCloud.
Yeah, but for no money.
But still, no, I mean, but I do shout out the Bucks fans who taunted Dame Lillard with a SoundCloud rapper. Clap, clap. That's pretty great. That's a great taunt. Even if it isn't really factually that offensive.
Right. And he's still a multimillionaire.
Oh, yeah.
Where like a SoundCloud rapper usually, you know, working at Walt D or something.
Yeah. Well,
on that fateful day when we make money from this and or Keith gets a job, we will have to start traveling to different arenas. I really want to go to that Bucks arena.
Oh, yeah.
It seems fun.
It seems like
Milwaukee's a fun place.
Yeah, they've often, and especially I know their in-arena entertainment has been having fun because the Warriors and Cavs both recently came into town, and so they do the bandwagon cam where they're always throwing pictures of people in like LeBron jerseys, and it's like was here last week in a Steph jersey, you know, put over him. So.
Right.
They do. Seem to have a good sense of humor. My breakfast in bed apology. Also, when I was doing the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award 2 weeks ago, here's a confession. While we were recording the show, I realized I had not prepared my notes.
Mm-hmm.
So I quickly went on to Basketball Reference. I did my little search. I sorted them. But there were so many results. And this is one thing maybe Basketball Reference, all of us amateurs and professionals alike have run into this problem, where if you get like 200 results on Basketball Reference and you sort them, it only sorts the first page, like it doesn't sort them all. So we awarded, I think rightfully awarded, a iShop to Andrew Wiggins for a 2-for-19 horrible performance. However, we need to make amends because there were 3 spectacular games that we did not even mention. And it's really funny that we'd even talked about them. I don't remember if we talked about it on air or not, but so this is a makeup. This is a makeup International Stackhouse of Pancakes right now. Frank Kaminsky in a loss to Detroit. And we talked about this game.
Yeah.
About Frank, the foreman being terrible. He was 1-for-11, 2 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists.
I still think he's better than Marvin Williams.
Aaron Gordon, who in this, I didn't even know this game happened. And I can't believe
we didn't talk about this
one. I was
one.
Brokenhearted about it. Aaron Gordon went 0-for-12 in a game. That's our high for the season.
That is.
Can we refer to him as Aaron Gordon, small forward?
Yeah. Aaron Gordon, small forward, wing player, was 0-for-12, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. And then J.R. Smith, who I think on the show we mentioned had missed 20 straight shots, he did that by going 0-for-11 and then 1-for-11 in consecutive games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these are some of the worst games we've ever seen.
But that Wiggins... Still.
But the Wiggins still, I mean, 2-for-19, 30, but still.
That's awful.
His was special with the no rebounds, no assists, which Chuck threw out. Was like, that was something since 1954.
It hasn't happened since 1953.
But anyway, I assume we have to give an honorary retro to Aaron Gordon for going 0-for-12.
That's an all-time great iShop.
J.R. Smith, you're off the hook this way. So
lucky.
Making amends, and those are our breakfast in bed apologies. Before we get to our steak and eggs best thing, I want to tell you guys about Fan Essentials. They've been a sponsor of ours for a long time, but hopefully you will go to their website, fanessentials.net, and get a subscription for your favorite sports team, and then they will send you gear and collectibles hand-selected each month, and they have packages starting at $14.99. Use the code FBBF, as in Fast Break Breakfast, and you get 30% off your subscription. So go to fanessentials.net and get all the essentials you need. All right, steak and eggs, best thing.
I got it.
What's the best thing you saw, Chuck?
My best thing, I haven't saw it, but I've, you know, read it It's all the weed-smoking coaches out there in the NBA.
Easy.
Yeah, they're coming out of the woodworks, coming out of the cannabis closet, letting people know that, and I'm talking about Steve Kerr and Phil Jackson, you know, when they spoke about recovering from back surgery or for back pain, how they use marijuana to aid them in their...
So you're not... Chuck is not celebrating the reckless recreational drug use. He's celebrating the advancing of the conversation of drugs for actual medicinal purposes.
No, you're wrong.
Oh, I misread
you
completely.
I want to buy weed at Walmart tomorrow. So this is a first step in getting in that direction. If we can get adults who are respected in the sports community to speak out and say, yeah, I do this, then it helps break the stigma that comes along with, you know, years of, you know, propaganda against this plant.
Right. Especially when...
Pretty sure you can already buy weed from my local Walmart.
Oh,
my local Walmart is a third world country. Anyone who believes America is the greatest country on earth, go to the Walmart near Hundred Oaks in Nashville. It's terrifying. Just people, there's like, people are living in the parking lot. Just debris, clothing, diapers just strewn about. It's horrifying. I'm pretty sure there are refugees. And, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
That's very incredible. I don't normally go there, and I went there. I got very disturbed. Like, I got like very like, I should never be here. John, what's your steak and eggs? You're so quiet in your house on the Skype phone call where we can't see you.
The powers of the mute button as I snivel and snicker. I'm going to go with the aforementioned Cavs' destructifying presence against the Knicks, who aren't even that bad. But the Cavs got so bored, they just started playing like games on the sideline.
They're doing flip bottle,
middle schooler games.
Love it. Then they were dabbing. No, that's incredible. It's kind of the greatest bird flip to Phil Jackson, too, after all the posse comments. So, yeah, we're a posse who plays fun games on the sideline.
They should have started flicking marbles and playing stickball. Done like old-timey 30s
like
stuff.
1920s Brooklyn.
Once upon a time in Cleveland.
My steak and eggs best thing is Rick Carlisle on Wednesday night. His team, one of the mini games on Wednesday night that was decided by over 30 points, just randomly calling timeouts he did not have. And just accepting a technical foul for them because he's like, what's the point? 1 point isn't a big deal. I need to teach.
Right.
So him just, he's like, you're never out of timeouts. It's just the cost increases.
Yeah, you could just pay. I'm sure there's some sort of business model that can quantify that as an actual benefit for the team.
Bold talk when you lose by 31 to the Kings there, Rick.
They are bad.
That's not a good look. Alt-right leader Andrew Bogut even now out for the whatever.
2 weeks at least, which means six weeks.
My power rankings are dominating your power rankings, boys.
I had the Mavs damn near the bottom, but you had them dead last.
Yeah.
Which,
I mean, when's the last time the Sixers won is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Things aren't looking great for that franchise either.
I think they beat the Heat.
They did, yeah.
Yeah, they did.
All right. So... what's the opposite of that? What's your cream of wheat, worst of week?
My worst is the Atlanta Hawks in a game against the Raptors last week.
They just beat the Heat. Excuse me.
Shut up, John.
They did beat the Heat, despite Tyler Johnson's out-of-his-brain offensive explosion.
Well, here's the thing, too. The Heat have 9 players. In order to scrimmage in practice, Juwan Howard has to suit up. So they're not doing too well.
You got 9 players. You don't need to be scrimmaging. You need to be resting.
You need to be sitting everyone. Yeah. But the Raptors.
As long as you know that Dwight Howard completely dominated Whiteside.
Dwight Howard with the statistical line of his career.
Yeah.
He was like 5 of 6 from the free throw line and 11 of 13.
He put Hassan in his pocket.
Will you just let me?
Sorry, I'm good.
Hassan Whiteside belongs to Dwight Howard.
Chuck,
no.
What's your worst thing?
Let me poop on them, please, in revenge.
Yeah, this is.
But this is. I just want everyone to know why he's doing this.
This is the interesting thing. So when they played the Raptors last week, the Hawks lost so badly that the Raptors would have beaten them if they hadn't scored 1 point in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So they had them demolished in 3 quarters, and then they beat the Heat. So. I'll go cry now.
Interesting counterpoint. The Hawks beat the Heat so badly that we could delete this entire segment.
let me revel in a bad time for them, because they cause bad times for me.
My cream of wheat is the saga of our man, Donuts Monty Unis. Apparently, his agent, BJ Armstrong, which you are familiar with, might have made some of the bigger agent errors we've ever seen from a player agent, where he agreed to a very strange mid-season offer, because normally restricted free agency is over, but the Nets actually offered Monty Unis a offer sheet, and this offer sheet contained optional, like, incentive type things, which are not part of the base structure. And in restricted free agency, that means, which I've learned from Larry Kuhn and others, like, and Nate Duncan and Kevin Pelton talking about it, that means that the Rockets could match the offer and had the option of declining the additional incentives, to which the Rockets were like, yes, I will. We accept, you know, we will retain you, but we're going to get rid of those parts that were optional for us, because why would we want to pay you even more, because you have no leverage? To which BJ Armstrong has said, all right, well, then we're going to sit out. He's not going to show up for his physical, and we're going to show you the strength that we have. They have no strength. He has no option. This is Donuts, one, is not going to be allowed to play basketball anywhere until he reports to the Rockets. Like, that's, he can't go play FIBA anywhere because he won't have clearance. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't sign this contract, very basically, he doesn't make all this money. This man has not made that much money in his career. So he had the option of making, you know, millions and millions of dollars. And also the Rockets now, because he didn't show up, they have the option of saying, oh, you don't show up? Well, put the CBA, the thing, the Players Association collectively bargained with us and we agreed to the rules, say, if you don't show up after we match your restricted free agency, we can decline the offer, but that nulls the Nets offer. So now you have no contract. And in addition, the Nets can't sign you for a year. So that's one team you can't even go play for. And he loses a year to be added to his like pension and years of service type things. Mm-hmm. So it seems like BJ Armstrong has no idea what's going on. And this situation might...
Wait, BJ Armstrong is his agent?
Yes, BJ Armstrong from the Bulls is the agent of...
Problem identified.
No, I mean, clearly, I'm pointing out, this is like, this seems to be, and again...
You could have skipped all that jargon.
Yeah.
And just stopped with, hey, remember BJ Armstrong, the middling shooting guard for the Juggernaut Bulls?
World champion shooting guard.
It's a point guard.
He thinks he's an agent.
Yeah.
Well, so he, I was trying to think of the worst agent thing that I think we know of is when Anthony Carter's agent forgot to exercise his player option, and it lost Anthony Carter $4 million like 15 years ago. And I was actually looking into this, that was super agent Bill Duffy. And Bill Duffy...
Duffy.
he made good on his error. And he is paying Anthony Carter yearly and up until 2020 to make sure he gets all the money that he missed out on. So
that's like our basketball version of Bobby Bonilla.
It is. But anyway, my worst thing is, one, I feel like Monty Unis is getting some terrible advice from his agent, who is really messing with his chance of a basketball career and being a wealthy individual. So that was long. I'm done.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna brighten things up after that maudlin tale by telling Matt Barnes you're dead to me.
Oh, Matt Barnes. It is one. What's the phrase? The one something too many.
And, one lady choke out too
yeah,
many.
Yeah. One domestic violence too many.
Yeah.
Why do all my favorite tattooed former Grizz players immediately go beat women?
Well, it's unfortunate. Mm. I hope there's no correlation.
We can move on, but it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, apparently there's video from it, and you can't tell anything because it was a dark nightclub. But, you know, doesn't matter what happened. End of the day, you can't hit a woman unless you're a woman. Right?
Violence doesn't solve everything.
Unless you're Ronda Rousey.
Violence is never the answer.
Unless you're in...
Except sometimes it is.
Except sometimes.
Quotes Matt Barnes, 2016. Was that 2015? That was
might
last,
have been last
2015.
Year, yeah.
Yeah, no, he... And we're actually going to hear more about that Matt Barnes night later in the actual International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award.
Oh, yeah.
Because he went 1 for 11 that night, went out, got in a violent you know, got in a violent confrontation in a bar.
Yeah.
Not great.
Karma is real.
You know what? I heard the lady in that altercation looked a lot like Derek Fisher in a wig. So
if
anybody wants to write that down in our conspiracy book.
Oh.
So
perhaps Chuck's first turkey bacon conspiracy.
It could have.
I almost brought in as a conspiracy because you know how the Heat are not like playing any players because they're all getting DNPs, but there's a you know an injury next to that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Udonis Haslam every game DNP coach's decision, every game, no matter how few players they're playing.
Because he's the unofficial mascot.
Yeah. What's going on here?
Well,
is this even legal? What Udonis Haslam is.
He's the
How much does he make? I mean,
is he there? Is he at the games? Is he on the?
If I could audit two people, it would be Trump and Udonis Haslam.
This is an X file, guys. Like I'm on this case. I'm on this case. You haven't heard the last of this Udonis Haslam saga.
What it is, I think, basically, is Pat Riley's only ability to point at the whole idea of Heat lifer that.
Right.
Has been explicitly destroyed with the bad, leaving a Dwayne Wade and,
Chris Bosh.
Chris Bosh, the way LeBron's left him and how that's come to light, what happened. I think he's literally a mascot. And UD does have a lot of love in the NBA. People who come to Miami, they know UD's the guy. If you want to party right, so you hit him up. So
if you want to party a little more discreetly than the Kings do in New York,
right? You can have a lot of fun with UD in Miami because he's a homeboy, born and bred in Miami. So they got I think that's their thing. They're keeping.
Chuck just said he has a posse.
I didn't say that.
Hey, I'm getting producer notes saying we've talked about the Heat way too much.
Fourth worst
team in the league.
Sorry.
Wait.
Oh, so horrible to watch. Hassan Whiteside is terrible.
All right.
Terrible. Terrible basketball player.
Those are our cream of wheat worst of weeks. All right, now for, speaking of the Heat, Hassan Whiteside cocks it back to Waffle House presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts. What else are we seeing around the league?
So Reddit is all over Kyle O'Quinn's Twitter. And I don't know if anybody has been on his Twitter, but it's basically just a series of letters, basically shortened, phrases and words, whole sentences.
So far, you're just literally describing Twitter.
Well,
so is this the same Kyle O'Quinn who just had the near double-double in Whiteside's face against the Heat a couple nights ago?
We're not going to talk any more about this, John. This is this is Whiteside's namesake.
Whiteside has his contract and his 2K rating,
hey,
and you leave him alone.
That's all we need. And he's a trade chip that I hope is being dangled
in
around
the league. In his
Snapchat. You get the abbreviated sentences like TGBTG. Which is pretty common, which is to God be the glory.
Oh, I thought that was a delicious restaurant.
No, it's a frozen yogurt.
Well,
place.
I was wondering, so I'm not hip to all these little abbreviated shorthands.
Right.
I have to Google things like TBH mm-hmm. and I forget them after good bits of time.
But there's all sorts of crazy ones. He's got TYGFATOYHGM, which we Reddit has done some research. It says, "Thank you, God, for all the opportunities that you have given me." So he's not even right. I don't. Is that 140 characters?
Do people in online? Are there still online chat rooms? Do people in
Slack chat? That's what we got.
IRC.
Yeah, do people on online dating sites know these abbreviations immediately?
I don't think they're.
Chuck, tell us now.
No, it's not on. I mean, it's not on.
It's not on the sites you're on.
Not on Tinder. No. He does have one that could be specifically mistaken. It's MMF, which is you don't want to Google that.
Okay.
Because it's just...
we need to get Alan Turing on this. This may be some North Korean code. Did he ever play basketball in China? What's going on here?
So we've been... I'm trying to figure it all out, but he went on a rant with just check out his Twitter, Kyle_O'Quinn. It's absolutely mind-boggling. And
if someone cracks the code, please let us know. Let Reddit know.
Mm-hmm. It's just ridiculous. I can't figure it out.
I'm going to cross-reference it with a crossword puzzle.
So I'm curious.
See what I find.
On in our power rankings episode from a couple days ago, I still had the Cavs first in the power rankings over the Warriors. After seeing Klay do his 60 and seeing the Warriors just be kind of terrible against the Clippers and still run them
and
off the court.
And still destroy them.
So
ridiculous.
I'm having some reservations. Do we think that the Warriors have shown enough that maybe they are the true... I don't know. Will any answers be solved in this regular season?
All-time great offensive team we will have to see what they do when the playoffs come in the finals against the Cavs, which we all have.
Well, I mean, we're looking at right now, they're the best. They're on pace to be the best offensive rating of all time, beating out the Nash Mavericks teams. I think their points per game is up there with that horrible Nuggets squad.
Yeah.
From the 80s, so... Sure, it's fun to watch.
It is. It's
and that's without Kiki Vandeweghe.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin Durant's the top three leading effective field goal percentages are Klay, Steph, and Durant in the NBA. Durant's got career highs in field goal percentage, rebounds, and career low in turnovers. So right. He's literally at his peak. In a system that is allowing three of the big players to play at their best.
Y'all just keep driving that Durant MVP narrative. That's right, we're doing it.
No, but we forget that Russ Westbrook's got six straight triple-doubles.
And I think six straight wins for the Thunder.
Which works in his favor for the MVP. And
that could have been Thunder's, one of my apologies. The Thunder look very frisky, don't they?
Thunder, 16 of their next 21 games on the road. 16 of their next 21 on the road.
I don't think that matters to Russ. I think he plays better.
I think we're going to know a lot more about Westbrook's MVP chances and the Thunder's strength.
Yeah.
So after a couple weeks of this.
He's got to average something like nine and a half rebounds and assists. We're going to assume he's going to get double digit points, but to average, he's got to average 9.5 rebounds and assists, average a triple double.
Speaking of not winning the MVP, John Wall. went for 52 in another loss to the not so lowly Magic, thanks to our power rankings. But
that's right.
In that, he allowed Elfrid Payton to score 25 and have 9 assists, which is staggering.
That's ridiculous.
How does that happen?
Yep. And so
he probably made 2 free throws with that line too.
I saw Candace Buckner pointed out on Twitter. The Wizards have had a winning record through 20 games 2 times in the last 30 years. Wow.
That's crazy.
It's almost hard to believe.
Is that Chris Webber, Juwan Howard year?
I don't know. It seems like one of the Jordan years they would have at least been over 500. I mean, they weren't good, but he made the playoffs.
In the letters of Kyle O'Quinn, WTF.
GTFO.
LOL.
Yeah. The Nuggets are still, we talk about them because we love them.
We, as in you.
In confirming the eye test.
I'm falling out of love, man.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm losing it. I'm losing it hard, especially when it keeps being every game when Jokic plays 20 minutes and shoots 65% from the field and has a positive.
Yeah, positive.
Plus minus, and they lose. So Mike Gallagher from Roto World confirmed the eye test. In the last 15 games, the Jameer Nelson, Jamal Murray, Gallinari, Wilson Chandler, Jokic lineup, their net rating of plus 19.3. And over those same last 15 games, the Moutier, Will Barton, Gallinari, Ken Fareed, Yusuf Nurkic lineup, minus 37.4 net rating. Not good. Again, it's what everyone can see. Maybe it's like how on Twitter, I don't see any of the like far right wingers, because everything's online social media has been tailored to my tastes. Maybe
echo chamber that you live in.
Yeah, and so maybe my Twitter is just a Denver Nuggets echo chamber of is this not apparent to everyone watching? And then all the numbers say the same thing. Why is Mike Malone still afflicting us with these lineups that don't make sense, putting him in these huge holes with their starting lineup every game?
But it seems like
matches Malone, dog.
I didn't think this season was, real for them to get in any.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have picked the over on their win total then, you son of a bitch.
Well, I thought,
I bet money on it.
That's what I don't know.
No, I mean, I took the over. I thought this team would be just pushing 500. You know, yeah. I thought,
is that over dead?
I thought this team, it's not over. And I thought this team would just be pushing 500. And right now, just they're losing all these attainable games in ways where you're like, why are you just not doing this thing that seems dumb?
Right. And
they're the anti Grizzlies in crunch
time. You happen
time.
To be a Nuggets fan and haven't deleted our podcast yet. Jamal Murray looks decent. He's rookie of the month for November.
Well,
so he looks good.
He looks good. I mean, but like, there's a time when they put, Jokic, Chandler, and Gallinari, and like, oh, this looks good.
Right.
This makes sense.
The good players.
Like, oh, yeah. Like, the good players, as John says. Yeah. God, I like it when the good
players. Kenneth Faried, I like it when the good players play. Nurkic and
he's also just tanking any trade value Faried might ever have by continuing to play him alongside Nurkic, where it's just bad news. And we like Nurkic a lot.
Love Faried. You know,
he's a good player.
It's just like copious Jameer Nelson 3-point attempts. Like, what the hell is good? It's unwatchable.
Well, at that point, it's always, yeah, it seems like they put the car keys in Jameer's hands at the end of games and also kind of struggling. It's kind of Kings.
Their schedule this month is not a cakewalk either. I mean, they get the Clippers twice coming up.
Yep.
And then it's not as grim as, say, the Grizzlies' upcoming schedule.
Ooh,
but
Grizzlies' upcoming schedule. Yeah, as you said, the Nuggets are the anti-Grizzlies with their clutch performances. Mm-hmm. The Grizzlies are now 11-0 this season in any game that's been within 3 points in the last minute of the game. That is insane.
Mark, with that step back three to Marc put it Gasol in overtime
hit
against the Pellies. Oh,
a
my
step back three off the dribble.
Out of this world.
Come on now. I
mean, gonna need a bigger boat.
It was incredible. And
that's an official shark attack.
That was, and in the Grizzlies epilogue, which we will have, we will talk a little bit about the dark future. I mean, right now the Grizzlies, I think, have the 7th best record in the NBA as we talk on Thursday afternoon. They're playing the Portland Trailblazers later tonight, but their schedule gets really hard, and we will talk in the Grizzlies epilogue about what the next couple months might hold for them. I don't know if you saw in the Cavs' domination of the Knicks that Tristan Thompson had, he was 0-for-5 from the field.
But barzillion rebounds.
But he had 20 rebounds. And this brings us to a kind of difficult game of scones. As suggested by Patreon supporter and power listener, Sam Wilkinson. Name the players since 1983-84 that have made no field goal attempts in a game, but got 20 or more rebounds. I'm going to let Chuck go first here as the underdog. There are five correct answers outside of... Tristan Thompson did it. There's five correct answers. Which player since 83-84 have had 20 rebounds in a game without a made field goal? One of these five answers is ungettable.
I thought you said with no field goal attempts, and I was
holy lord. No made field goals. All of these guys, four of them, we know four of them. Like you know what they look like. Not obscure.
So Chuck's going first?
Chuck's going first.
There's no way we're getting that. This is an execution.
I want you guys to get two of them.
Kevin Willis?
No.
That was my first instinct.
That's a good guess, because Kevin Willis had some massive rebound numbers.
Right.
You got to think. I mean, it's...
But, like, it's so hard because you can accidentally get an offensive rebound and get 2 points. Like, that's...
Right. So, no, obviously the clue is these are guys who are not good at offense.
Right.
And good at rebounding. Mm. There's no, like it's not...
Right.
So
what you got, John?
What you got, John Byrne?
And that was a no on that.
No, Kevin Willis. One strike for Chuck.
Frank Brickowski.
No. I like the guess though.
Ben Wallace.
That's exceed. Now we're thinking right. That's wrong. But that's the. But it is the Ben Wallace type of people in our lives.
Right.
That's two strikes for Chuck.
Ugh.
Mark Eaton.
Mark Eaton. No.
Jesus. Right,
we get like a million strikes and maybe the first one to get one of these.
This is going to be longer than a game.
One of these is, I mean, I might get in trouble doing stuff like this, but I'm pretty sure one of these guys is in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
Wait, let me.
No.
You can't play this game anymore, Keith.
Yeah. Let me get Omer Asik.
No, here, I'm going to start. One guy is in the Hall of Fame, like I thought. One guy's obvious, guys.
Obvious.
Ugh. You just made it. I know. You just made it worse somehow. Right.
So John,
I'm gonna
John,
go.
You're up.
Moses Malone.
No, he did. I think he did most of his good stuff before 83.
All right.
Who's the best rebounder?
Dennis Rodman.
So I'm.
Yeah.
Ah, we're idiots. Done. I quit.
So Dennis Rodman. So that's the Hardman. All right.
Shame.
So
shame.
Dennis Rodman shame. did this 12 times, and obviously this
12 times.
He did it 12 times. Okay, the next person did it, as a member of the Nuggets, and two as a member of the Blazers. This guy did it twice, in 2007 and in 2012. He was the number two overall pick in a draft.
No.
He's most remembered as a New York Knick. He played college basketball at UMass.
Oh, God.
I mean, I know. It's not my turn.
Please, I know. No, please fire in, John.
It's Marcus.
Okay,
Canvas.
Good. Yeah. No, yeah. I was getting slightly embarrassed. For you guys.
I'm sitting here with rage for Chuck.
Yeah. You said UMass, and I don't know why I didn't put that in my head. Yeah.
I had the mute button on, and I was just cursing.
All right. So this is open.
Sorry.
This is for.
I didn't know it was my turn either.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'll go with.
All right. The
nice save.
I will say, so this guy did it for the New Jersey Nets and has since spent time in prison.
Yeah, Jason Williams.
That's great.
As soon as you said Nets, I was on it. I was like, oh, it's the killer.
Yeah. And then the other two, Reggie Evans, which I feel like we could have gotten, but I would have been very impressed.
Yeah.
Reggie Evans did it. And then a man named James Donaldson. Did it in 1986 for the Dallas Mavs. I don't know James Donaldson's work.
Don't know who that is.
Yeah. So I purposely afflicted
you
guys. Are you
sure Jack Sigma didn't with do it? Tough,
I thought you guys would have nailed Rodman
Sigma?
Right off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben Wallace was a great guess. Mm-hmm. Like it seems like Ben Wallace should have done it. But yeah. Rodman was the one to get. All right. That was just for our listeners to make.
Did Chuck technically win?
No.
I don't think no.
It's
won.
Become there painfully are no obvious that no one wins a Game of Thrones anymore.
Scones.
Or scones.
Yeah.
It's everyone loses.
This is just for our listeners to sit at home and have the chance to get those nuggets and then feel good when they get them right.
Right. And like, because we will never.
Yeah.
Especially me.
In comparison with our historical knowledge, everyone should feel smart. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on to the awards segment of the evening, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award. We've already awarded an honorary extra award for last week.
Good week this week, too.
For games played from December 1st through December 7th, we have an honorable mention. Two honorable mentions. One to Carl Anthony Towns for a 3-for-16, and one for a Blake Griffin, a 5-for-20, in the highly watched but disappointing Warriors-Clippers game. We do have four nominees. One, Brooke Lopez. 3-for-17. 13 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, though. 1 steal, 3 blocks, 2 turnovers. 3-for-17, not good. Grizzlies rookie, Troy Williams. 2-for-13 in a win.
Get off the counter. You're the bane of my existence. Get off the fucking counter.
John, you forgot to hit
John,
your mute button.
Not muted.
There.
Not muted.
I'm sorry.
That is not the way
you
should talk to your children.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He is a sociopath. Did you hear how he spoke to his cat? That's incredible.
Norbert, stop. Get off of
I
that.
Thought you were screaming at Troy
I'm
Williams.
Throwing stuff at it. Norbert. Sorry.
All right,
I'm sorry, Keith.
All right, bringing it back in. Troy Williams, 2-for-13 in a win versus Orlando. 5 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. 3 steals, 2 blocks is good. 3 turnovers, not good. Klay Thompson, the game before his 60-point explosion, which we haven't even mentioned.
I know.
Klay Thompson, 4-for-20 in the loss to the Rockets.
420.
How many seconds? How many seconds did he have the ball? Was it more than? Was it more than 90?
All this talk about seconds, time of possession, like Klay Thompson only touched the ball for 90 seconds. What does that mean? I mean, I know what it means.
I don't know. I wanted to bring that up and rail against it because I just that seems so arbitrary and bizarre.
I do like the stat that he only dribbled 11 times to get.
See, that makes more sense. But like this, introducing a new stat we've never heard of or even considered.
Right.
Like, how long do guys hold the basketball in a game? It's like, I don't know. Like, how long did Barkley
like to
hold it?
Invent stats around here.
Oh, we do like it. I mean, this one, but it doesn't have a good name. They could have at least given it a funny name. Call it the Kobe.
That's no Adolf.
The Kobe.
I don't know. I can't. Yeah. Hands on basketball. That's Hob.
Old guy at the gym who never misses.
Anyway,
the Hob quotient.
Why can't you just tell me Klay Thompson had 60 points in 29 minutes? That's amazing.
That's way more amazing.
And then you're like, he only touched the ball for 90 seconds. Was that a lot? Is that much?
Steve?
How long does someone usually touch a ball for in a game?
Yeah.
If Matt Barnes didn't go all Wayne Brady, then Steve Kerr benching him was going to be my worst of the week.
Yeah, that is a possible worst of the week, him not getting the chance to go for the 82 or 83 or 4 or whatever he could get.
He had a long road trip,
they're
though.
Still, they got this long road trip they're on right now. Anyway, Klay Thompson, 4 for 20, and then Matt Barnes, 1 for 11 and a felony assault. It's a big night.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah. So I think Matt Barnes wins the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award this week. Before
and 6 middle fingers from his former biggest fans.
Yeah, I mean, cheering for Matt Barnes has always been an uneasy affair, especially since his unrelenting, non-recanting views on him and the Derek Fisher incident. Like, he still feels like he was right to beat up Derek Fisher. Like,
I'm sure he still feels he's right this time too.
Yeah, so that's not awesome. I know it's hard to draw the line in sports fandom and personal lives, and then you got a Matt Barnes making it impossible to close your eyes to it.
Right. I'm a love the art, not the artist guy usually, but good God.
Yeah. All right.
He would not pass the final test in The Last Crusade. He is not penitent.
Yep. All right. Par fadeaway. What are we looking forward to this week? Or what do we miss if we need to get to anything that we've blown past?
I'm looking forward to Heat Cavs.
Nope. Pick something else, Chuck.
Is that not tonight?
Tomorrow. No, I was just making fun of you. The Heat.
I'm hoping with no players and a whole... Maybe Juwan Howard suits up.
Yeah, you're hoping.
I don't know. It's a bad year for a Miami Heat fan. And it's only going to get worse when we get demolished on the road in Cleveland.
So looking forward to LeBron coming for Pat Riley.
Oh, he's going
to... Will he even play? There's no... LeBron should just sit this one out.
I mean, if they were doing anything...
Leave it to DeAndre Liggins and... what's that? Jordan McRae? Yeah. What's that Tennessee guy? Yeah.
Don't forget about MacGruber.
Oh, MacGruber, no. MacGruder.
MacGruder.
MacGruder's killing it for the Heat.
MacGruder.
It's MacGruber to me.
Yeah.
He's walking around with a piece of celery in his butt.
I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. I'm going to Memphis.
Uh-oh.
Gonna see some Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited to
come
see...
Come out and play.
Gonna see the greatest show on parquet.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be good.
That's right.
Grizzlies, man. Hey, the Warriors will be in a stretch of 4 games and 5 nights on a road trip.
There's still no
trip
hope.
Them up.
Still
this
no
is the
hope.
Most Keith luck ever because you know Kerr is going to sit all
he's
those
He's going to sit them all.
While Keith's there.
Man, if Grizzlies get a win, it'll be worth it.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go. You can't lose.
Yeah, it would be great to drive 3.5 hours to not see Steph Curry and Kevin Durant play. That would be great.
I'll still ask him a silly question.
Oh, yeah?
Silly yet respectable question.
Are you going to get a press pass?
I think so.
Ooh. What are you going
to ask? Get him.
I actually need to follow up on that.
If you're listening, hit us up on our Twitter, @FastBreakBreak, for a good question.
I'm going to ask Klay Thompson why he's a Titans fan.
Ooh. Is he?
I heard Draymond Green say he was a Titans fan, so.
That's the new bandwagon.
I'm going to say it's all Steve McNair.
Really?
That man was awesome.
He was so awesome.
He was the best.
R.I.P.
I bet Klay Thompson's just a big Stevie Mac fan.
Mm. To hell with you, Dave and Buster.
Dave and Buster's. The end of many men.
Awful.
No kidding.
John, what are you looking forward to?
Well, now I'm looking forward to you asking Donkey about kicking people in the nuts. I mean, that's pretty much it. I'm piggybacking onto yours.
I would really love for you to ask about that.
I will tell you one thing we are all looking forward to. That is our next watch party.
Oh, yeah.
This coming Tuesday, for Cavs Grizzlies at Gordon's.
Oof.
In the Melrose area of Nashville for you Nashville listeners, local listeners.
Tell them about the special.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Nashville listeners, come out, watch the game with us. It's at 6 p.m., 2-for-1 draft beers during the game, and 50 Cent Wings.
Oh, my God.
It's too much.
50 Cent Wings.
50 Cent Wings. It's going to be awesome. Their food is great. So come to Gordon's on Tuesday, December 13th. We will watch the Cavs and Grizzlies. Rest of you guys, just pray for us as the Grizzlies do Warriors, Cavs, Cavs.
And by the way, last watch party, if you're in Nashville, we gave away a fantastic Grizzlies wrestling championship belt.
I got to say, we got one more of those.
We do have
one more of those to give away.
And we're going
to
give it away this week or next week. So come on out, holler at us.
Y'all best hide that thing from me before we get there.
I had a moment where I could have stolen it because we thought we only had one, but there were two tucked inside.
Chuck had a moment of great honesty. Chuck.
It was my integrity that I learned in the military.
Chuck raised himself. He might have promoted himself in the podcast hierarchy of I might entrust him with the PayPal account.
Yeah. He has a child.
Him showing me that there were two wrestling belts in that box.
You know,
and I only thought there was one. It was his chance to abscond.
Could have easily just tucked it in my shirt and just walked to my car, pretended to smoke a cigarette. I had it worked out in my head, but I didn't do it.
You did great.
I've never stolen anything in my life, but I would have gone full Jane's Addiction on that thing.
All right, well, stick around for the Grizzlies epilogue. We will talk briefly after this. But the rest of you guys, thanks for listening. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. Follow us on Twitter at fastbreakbreak. Like us on Facebook. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue. I think this is going to be the high watermark of the non-Conley Grizzlies.
I would say so.
Beating the Lakers was huge.
I mean, they beat the Lakers with the Magic, the Pelicans, the Sixers, all in borderline miraculous fashion. Mm-hmm. Many of those teams were on the second night of back-to-backs while traveling.
Tony Allen on Jeff Green happened.
Tony Allen and Tony Allen on Lou Williams. Lou Williams had whatever he had, 40 points that night, mm-hmm. but it was Tony Allen stole a ball from him twice when he finally got back in the game after foul trouble. So I think the takeaway is obviously it's still encouragement that they're pulling these games out without their players. And we're still seeing we have some of the more promising young guys, but like I feel like the Andrew Harrison, like he had a stretch of five games that looked pretty good. Now maybe he's hitting the wall again. And obviously the elephant in the room that we mentioned, they are favorites last I checked against the Trailblazers, this game that's happening today, but then they're going to be underdogs in most of their following games.
I think we have one more winnable game, maybe
one more
before the doomsday happens.
Oh, what do you mean by the doomsday?
Like, we get like the terrible Blazers, and then I don't see wins. It's over.
Right. So I'm actually looking at the Memphis Grizzlies schedule in December. So again, this Trailblazers game will happen before we release the podcast on Friday morning.
List them off. It's insane.
Warriors loss.
Yes.
Cavs back to back. So that's 0-3. Well, just count the wins, Chuck, or Chuck or John. When you hear a win, say win.
Okay.
Warriors, Cavs, Kings. They can beat the Kings at home. Yeah. So they get the Kings at home on a Friday night. Jazz, Celtics, at the Pistons, Rockets, at the Magic, at the Celtics, Thunder. Are you on mute, Chuck?
I'm not on mute. At the Kings.
At the Kings.
That's
December.
I could see maybe the Magic, maybe the Jazz if George Hill's out still.
That's one bleak Hanukkah, folks. Yeah.
The advent is going to cause you to drink.
In my mind, they're going to win maybe two of those games. They're going to win some we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like
but then they'll probably blow one of those Kings.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, I mean, so
like at Orlando, you hope it's going to be good. Like some of these home games might be all right. So like,
bet the under in that Orlando.
All right,
game.
Let's look at January. Because then they go on a road trip. They start January at the Lakers.
Win.
At the Clippers. At the Warriors. They come all the way back home to play the Jazz. At the Thunder. At the Rockets.
Nope.
Play the Bulls at home.
Maybe.
Oh, that should be a nationally televised game. They blow those.
Yeah, so, and Rondo's going to go for a triple-double because that's all he cares about.
Then at the Wizards, there's a win. That team's horrible.
They are so bad.
At the Wizards, home for the Kings, Rockets, Raptors, at the Blazers, at the Jazz, at the Suns.
Suns.
Win.
So you're looking at like 5 out of 20?
So by the end of January, hopefully Mike Conley is back.
Good thing we have all those wins, Bubba.
Literally, they play 27 games through the end of January. I think they'll be lucky to win 7. And I don't know if I'm just being really dour, because I've been kind of the, whatever, Debbie Downer the whole year on them, and they proved me wrong. So that's our over-under. We were talking on our Patreon Slack chat, over-under 7.5 wins for the Grizzlies for the rest of December through January, and I think it's bleak.
I mean,
if they go 7-20, they will be 23-28.
Which is still in the hunt.
Which is still in the hunt, we think. And then maybe they'll have 30 games left if they can play. I mean, if Chandler Parsons comes back, they might do actually better.
Right.
But this is just a stretch where if they were, their beginning of the season team was together, I felt like they would play near 500.
Yeah. That's
so it's that tough of a schedule.
Didn't Chandler Parsons retire or something?
I think Chandler Parsons might have retired. So let us know what you think. And we might throw it up on Twitter in a couple of days.
Is that for real?
What do you mean?
The retirement?
No. Okay. It's a joke. There was like,
I've been reading.
There was Sportnado.
Sportnado said he's out for the rest of
the
year.
Guy said he was out for the rest of the year. Then that guy resigned.
Yeah, he was fired or something.
That guy quit. That's your fake news. Fake news 2017. Mm-hmm. All right. So there's your bad look. Tell us how many games you think they're going to win. I know we got Grizzlies listeners who think we're way too pessimistic and they're going to find a way because they always find a way. And maybe they are. Maybe they're the plucky Rebel Alliance
and
from the Star Wars films that always...
Even if they do go 7 wins over those next 27, you hope to see, you know, you get those young players the minutes that they need, and hopefully if they can, you know, figure out a way to get to the playoffs, they can contribute some.
There you go.
And that could be, you know, a learning time for these, you know.
As long as Wade and Deontay are getting minutes, I'm feeling good.
Troy Daniels.
And I love Troy Williams.
Or Troy Williams, I'm sorry. He looks great.
That man's a slasher. He's got some finishing moves.
And he dives for loose balls. He plays the kind of Grizzlies basketball that you like to see. So that I think, you know, with the Jaeger years, you guys were always complaining about the lack of development of young talent. And I think this year, unfortunately, through the injuries, you're going to have the chance to see some players get minutes and hopefully become better and more, you know, suitable for playoff basketball.
Oh, dude. If Jaeger was coaching this team, Tony Douglas would be playing 29 minutes.
I was about to say, just don't give the Tony Douglas minutes. All right, closing, we have breaking NBA news.
Dum, dum, dum.
Spencer Dinwiddie is back joining the Nets.
Yeah,
that
boy.
That glorious mustache back in the NBA.
Love it.
Him and Sean Kilpatrick going to combine for like 47 attempts.
Oh, it's going to be good. All right, you guys, thanks for checking out the Grizzlies epilogue. Grizzlies fans, check out the watch party. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening.
Arrive safely, and don't let your cats get on the counter. That's disgusting.